Welcome to the Fixed Ops Roundtable podcast, featuring Ted Ings and his distinguished guests. Each week, you'll gain valuable insights to level up your game in retail automotive's fixed operations. This episode is brought to you by BG Products, partners beyond products. And now, here's Ted Ings.
Welcome back to the Fixed Ops Roundtable. We have a great panel ahead with both Haley Filio from Parts Edge and Ed Roberts from Bozard Ford Lincoln, author of Mile One. Haley and Ed, welcome back to the Fixed Ops Roundtable.
Thank you, Ted. Glad to be here. And man, look at what we got in front of us here.
And, you know, Haley, no one better than yourself and Ed to talk about parts. And here we are, you know, now in the fourth quarter, you know, coming up to the next 2.5 months or 2 months, not even, right? Balance of the year. And we're going to be in a new year. Okay. So want to kind of pick your brain with the audience today. And, you know, Ed, if I could start with you, what are your main focuses for the parts business for the balance of 2023? And there's a lot of ways we can go with that, but I'm curious as to what you're doing there at Bozard Ford Lincoln.
Well, I like to be prepared, and let's talk with the audience there a bit. And we're closing in on the end of 2023, where most of us are going to be doing some type of parts inventory. We are going to highlight those parts that we've been kicking around and trying to make a decision about for so long. But ultimately, there's two inventories that the dealer owns, and that's used car inventory and parts inventory. And every day that a used car sits on the lot, it loses value and becomes underwater. And every day that we hang on to that part that we have been kicking around for the last 2 years is less inventory that we can have that really gives us the breath to take care of our customers better. So now is cleanup time. Let's get whatever value we can get out of some of those obsolescence that we've been hanging on to, even if it's 10 cents on the dollar, let's get rid of it. Let's turn that into inventory that we can make happen. Let's widen our breadth of the inventory that's moving. Let's focus on our phase ins, our phase outs. Let's prepare ourselves to rock and roll in 2024. And that starts with letting go of the things that we've been trying to hang on to for eternity.
Haley, you did a segment not too long ago about comparing the parts inventory with the used vehicle inventory. So that's right in your wheelhouse. And look at all the focus that we put on used vehicle inventory. And now especially on turning that inventory really quick, reconditioning it, days to frontline, and how we measure the days. Different dealers have different measurements. Haley, this seems like the right time of year to really be honing in on that going into the new year.
It really is. And you know what? I'm actually speaking at NADA about birthdays are for people, not parts. So I didn't even realize that, you know, that totally goes with what we're talking about. And I think, you know, at the end of the year, we really put a heavy focus on obsolescence, but it should be something that we're focusing on all year long. Because the worst thing you can do is get rid of it and then it keeps coming back, and not being proactive with, you know, why you have so much, what is going on, how can we control this idle inventory a little bit more effectively. So I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what I think.
Parts managers has a tough time of letting go of these things. And one of the things that I preach a lot around here at Bozard is let's restate whatever you're trying to state without using three words, and that's but, because, or just. I'm hanging on to that because, but here's, and when all three of those things are really an opportunity to set you up for an excuse. And if we remove those things out of a vocabulary, there's not really a whole lot of reason why we should hang on to that stuff. And yes, the if parts should not have birthdays, our used car inventory, there's some of us out there that may hang on stuff for 60 days. That's really a bit long as well. But some of us hang on to them for 90. And at 120, somebody's jumping up and down. Well, then why are we hanging on to something that's 368 days old? Let it go. And don't use the word but, just, or because to hang on to it.
I think it's just a hard thing to let go of. I don't know. Like, think about when you're cleaning out your house and, like, you have all this stuff that you're like, oh, but I'm going to use this one day. If you haven't used it in a year, you're not going to use it.
I think we can all walk through our closet and find some of that stuff. And if we truly need to make room, there's tons of opportunity there.
Just like an outfit, just keep one and then the rest go.
I thought the panel that we did just a little while ago, Sean Kingy was on there, and I liked the term he said, Kaylee. He said he doesn't have meetings. He has huddles, okay, at his dealership. Ed, I'm curious, how do you huddle with your team to make sure that they're staying focused on that parts inventory, that they're not having birthdays? I know we do it on the used car side, but any recommendations, any best practices that you would have for the audience today and some of the things that, because everyone looks to Bozard for best practices, Ed.
Well, it's set an expectation, and you can't really set expectation if you don't talk to your people. You can't set an expectation by talking to your parts manager, and that's as far as it goes. It has to carry down. And yes, I love the terminology that Sean uses on that on huddles. We have different meetings every day. We have some every other week or whatever, but we meet with our techs every day. We meet with our parts people once a week. And then we meet with advisors every other week, and it carries out throughout. But you can't push those things down if you don't talk about them, if you don't get them out in the open. And so communication is key. And some of our people may think it's okay to hang on to that part that we used to sell 10 of a month. And if we don't communicate those things to them, they may not have ever heard of the word obsolescent. They may not have ever understood that that part needs to go away after it's been there for 200 days. We have to set a standard and then communicate that standard down there where everybody understands it.
Ed, that's right. If we don't communicate, people may think that's okay because we don't talk about it. And if we don't talk about it, you know, they don't hear about obsolescence. And, you know, that birthday, if you will, Kaylee, is, you know, not so important if we're not communicating. So, Kaylee, I think that's really important. And Ed made the point in the green room, Kaylee, earlier that a lot of parts personnel in dealerships, not all, but many are the least trained, Kaylee, in dealerships. And I thought that was a great point.
It is a great point, because if you really look at what they're responsible for, some dealerships have over $500,000. Let's just say that's the average. That's a lot of money that they're managing, per se. And then we're not providing training for them, and they're the least trained. So it's just, and I even, was it Sean that mentioned, was it Sean or Jim, mentioned like working the inventory? Parts managers, you know, really need to work the inventory and work that money basically to produce more profit and be more efficient. So yeah, parts managers, we need to focus on training and providing them resources, especially even seasoned ones that have been in it for years, because things are always changing. And like I think Ed has mentioned numerous times, we know what we don't know, or we know what we don't know. I say it the same way.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, we don't know.
Yeah.
But let's carry that a little bit further. Our parts personnel are the least trained. That we don't train our parts personnel as a rule in most stores. And so if they're the least trained, they're not only the least trained, we also have the least amount of guidelines back there. And so we know when a used car gets to a certain point that it has to go. But sure, we're making a decision at inventory time where that inventory needs to go. Well, like you said, Kaylee, it needs to be a year. It needs to be ongoing. There needs to be a guideline that once it hits this threshold, we got to get rid of it, because they probably already had two phone calls on it, and we hung on to it because it's the last one that we had, and because there's no guideline, but there's a guideline to it. So not only do we need to work on training, but we need to work on the structure that we put in place for our parts department so that things happen automatically. It's a process rather than a decision. If you're making decisions on when things need to go, then you don't have a process for them to happen automatically. And that's just like the phase in, phase out stuff. We set those things up and it becomes an automated process. Well, there's some things that aren't automated that we have to control. And those are the things that we got to focus on and put the structure in the parts department, then not be afraid to spend the money to train our people on it, communicate it down to them, but then train them on the reasons why.
Parts Ed, you provide a lot of resources to help dealers with inventory. Tell us a little bit about that, because this, again, back in your warehouse at Parts.
Yeah, I mean, I could go in so many different directions with it, but really what I like how you mentioned guidelines and structure, because if we don't have that in place, then you're just reacting to what comes up. So I think that's really what Parts Edge helps provide to parts managers and the team, is really giving that structure, giving those guidelines in, you know, staying ahead of, you know, the different, I always call them categories of your different key categories of your inventory. Because it's like dominoes into obsolescence. Of course, we want to get rid of parts no sell, 13 months no receipt, but there's different buckets to manage and creating those guidelines, those processes to have structure gives you a more proactive way to make better decisions.
Ed, you have a team that's empowered to make decisions throughout the dealership. You know, talk to us a little about some of the structure, you know, that you've set in place, you know, being formerly the fixed operations director. I love how Tully says parts, sells, hours. And it really does come back to that. It's not siloed. It's one big organization.
Well, we can't make all the decisions. And a lot of times we try to be in control of different things and feel like we got our finger on the pulse. But ultimately, we don't have all the information. And if we don't have all the information, we shouldn't make all the decisions. So it's about pushing the decisions down to where the information is. And when you empower people to do that and you set the guideline that says, hey, here's our opportunity, here's where we want to be, and we want to free that money up so we can bring in things that we can move out of here and better take care of our customers. Now, and then we tell them it's okay to make those decisions because they may have a fear that they paid $200 for that part and they got to take 50 cents on the dollar for it and there's a $100 loss on it. Well, I'd rather take that $100 loss, pick that and take the other $100 in, buy another part for $100, sell it for $160. Now, is it really a $100 loss, or did I minimize that loss and also now have $160 I can reinvest again in something else? So we have to be able to push that down to where they're not afraid to make the decision to move that thing out so that we can bring in something fresh. And that's by pushing those decisions down to where the information is.
It sounds like it's also mindset, and you're known for that at Bozard, that mindset. Speak to us about that a little bit, because obviously it starts at the top, the leadership, the owners at the dealership, but how do you get that to trickle down so effectively at your store?
It's the constant communication that we talked about earlier. We don't have limitations. Limitations live right here. We're capable of doing so much more than what we deliver every single day. But in our mind, that's more than we've ever done, so that must be a good job. Well, is it really a good job? Let's look deeper into that and determine what does a good job look like. And that's another element of what a lot of us don't do. We don't do a good job of letting our people know what a good job looks like. So we end up celebrating a subpar job, or maybe we're not celebrating a great job, but we needed to dissect what a good job looks like. And then celebrate those small victories or set the standard for what needs to happen to get there.
Kaylee, your thoughts? That makes a lot of sense, by the way, the way that Ed approaches it.
Yeah, I think you pointed, I meant to write it down, but the guiding the leadership really is what you're talking about and showing them, you know, how to do the job and leading them to much more than what they're already doing.
Well, let them know that they're capable of more, because like we said earlier, you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you're capable of until you find out what you're capable of. And sometimes we get to a point because we think that's where we need to be, and then we stop. Well, let's look at it from a scoring standpoint in a football game. If we're 3 points back and there's 2 minutes left to go, then if we're trying to tie the game up, we need to kick a field goal. Or if we get a touchdown, we win the game. But if we're 10 points back and they're 2 minutes to go and we have the ball, we're going to react differently. Well, we know what we need to make happen. We know what we need to get to. Well, we have to also set that guideline of what we need to get to and how hard we need to push to get there. Then that's when we really find out what we're capable of.
And everybody, here we are in the fourth quarter of 2023. We know what's ahead. And then we start a whole new game all over. And Kaylee, Parts Edge is here year round, okay, regardless of where we are, regardless of conditions out there, you know, inventories, strikes, no strikes, all those things. So, Kaylee, what's the best way if our audience wants to reach out to you for more information on Parts Edge and the resources you provide to help them with that inventory at the dealership level?
You go to our website and you want to have a, you know, reach out and talk to me, you can, you know, our email, my email's below, but we also have resources on our website for ebooks. So that talk about inventory control, how to identify issues in your inventory. We talk about pricing, because that's another thing. And in Q4 that we get a lot of requests for is pricing analyses to see, you know, what if the matrix is actually working, which we could talk about that in a whole nother topic, but That's the biggest things is obsolescence and pricing at the end of the year. And it shouldn't just be the end of the year. We should be focusing on it all year long. And don't forget that when you get rid of your obsolescence, that also have a plan. Why are you doing this every year? Like, why are we doing this? The same thing. So have a plan to be different next year.
And I'll give you the last word.
Like Kaylee just said, create a plan. If 10% of your inventory is obsolescence this year, ain't a whole lot you can do about it except clean it up. And then put processes in place. And then if it's 10% next year, then those processes was ineffective and let's work on those. But if they improved and we're 3% or we're 4% obsolescence next year, and we've made progress. Then we got to determine, is that the right number of where I want to be? And things don't happen unless you set the guideline for what they need to happen. And so you don't have to micromanage. You just got to set an expectation. And when you set an expectation, they will hold themselves accountable. And when they hold themselves accountable, you're going to get a lot more results than if we're back there cracking the whip.
Great advice, everybody, at this time of year, any time of year. Ed Roberts, thank you so much for your time today and your wisdom. Kaylee Filio, great work. And thank you for all you do for the industry at Parts Edge. And everybody, for more information, you can reach out to the great team at Parts Edge at partsedge.com. Kaylee's email is scrolling at the bottom of the screen. And Ed and Kaylee, thank you so much for all you do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kaylee Filio, everybody, and Ed Roberts here today at the Fixed Ops Roundtable.